Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And my special guest today is Brian Jones, the director of the Countermeasures and Performance Evaluation Team in the Postal Services Office of the Inspector General. Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Sure, you're welcome.
Let's start with some basics. CAPE is, as you guys call yourself, the CAPE team. I imagine you guys don't run around the office in capes. That would be a pretty cool job if you did. But let's talk about it. Really, what you guys are doing is really data mining in many respects. Give us a sense of what your day-to-day activities are. What is CAPE?
CAPE stands for Countermeasures and Performance Evaluation. And in the OIG community, we're combating fraud, waste, and abuse. And so countermeasures is the work that we're doing in the fraud area, performance evaluation. We're doing also some risk modeling for our audit team as well.
So you're working on kind of on both sides of the house, the investigators and the auditors.
Now we are. We started with fraud. Our Inspector General, Dave Williams, was really fascinated with the opportunity that he saw in data mining. We started that work here about 3 years ago. Our fraud detection tools, we have four. There's four program areas in the Postal Service. We investigate mail theft, contract fraud, healthcare fraud, and financial fraud. So we decided that we would build a model in each area and see how it went, and kind of that's how the whole thing started.
You guys are looking at where potential waste, fraud, and abuse could occur, and then does the data support that? Or give me a sense of kind of what is a day-in, day-out type of work you guys do with the data.
Well, my background is more from the business side of the equation, and so I'm going to talk in terms that I understand. And so there are a lot of terms that are thrown about these days with big data and cloud computing and data mining and data analytics. And the way that we've looked at this or approached it is we see data mining more as the power of the machine or the power of the computer. And we see data analytics as more the power of the human. And so we've tried to combine those two to get the best possible outcome. And a lot of times there's science behind that, and there's a lot of models and algorithms that are necessary to kind of go through the vast amounts of data that we have. But in other times, it's simply putting data together in ways that people haven't seen before on the business side. So we try to take a look at both of those opportunities, and depending on the data that's available and the business problem that we're trying to solve, really that dictates which direction that we go.
Let's talk about your office. How big is it? How many people do you have? And is it all contractors and USPS employees? Is it all USPS employees? Give me a sense of how the makeup.
Right now we have about 15 employees. We're a very unique group in the IG community. We have investigators who work on our team. We have auditors who work on our team. We have folks with IT backgrounds. We have some contract staff that work with us, mostly on the data modeling side. And of course, we have data specialists and leadership and management. So it's really a blend of just about every background that you'd find in an IG community added with the technical capabilities kind of makes us who we are.
Do you find it easy to find people with those backgrounds? I mean, are you pulling people in who maybe were in the field for a number of years and maybe they want to do something different, but they have the kind of that sharp mind that understands what the data is and what the end result needs to be?
I think it's easy to find people with that background, but what's a little bit more difficult is getting those people to really understand and kind of agree to come work in your area. Early on, people were kind of asked to be involved in this, and some came reluctantly and some came willingly, but right now, we've really picked up a lot of momentum. People have kind of re-engaged and have rediscovered a passion in the investigative and audit work that we do. So it's really kind of exciting to see people who may be a little bit reluctant to come on board at first, but now not only do they not want to leave, but we have a lot of people who want to come and do what we're doing. So it's exciting.
Do you guys spend a ton of time on training? And if so, where's the biggest need of training?
What we realized we did not have was the data modeling expertise. And a lot of that, I think originally we thought we did have that. But the more that I looked outside of the organization into the private sector and what was happening with data mining, I realized that we didn't have that talent in-house. And so going out and getting a company or two that would come in and do the modeling for us was really the hole that we needed to have filled. And I think when people look at what if they can do this in their own organization, you have to do that real honest assessment of what you have and what you don't have. And there is some training, as we've done some work with our data modelers. We're trying to learn as we go. A lot of the capability we didn't have 3 years ago, we're beginning to grow in-house now because people are just a lot more familiar with the science behind it, developing an interest. And then some of the less complicated models we're starting to do with in-house talent.
Okay, I want to get into some of the tools you use in a little bit, but let's start with, give people a sense of what does day in and day out does CAPE do? Are you guys looking at data, bringing data together to support investigations and audits? Or do auditors come to you or investigators come to you and say, I'm having this problem, help me with it by looking at the data, or maybe a little bit of both?
I think in the early stages, we were having to force people to come to the table and work with us. We've really hit a tipping point now, and we kind of offer analytics as a service. And the way that we approach our stakeholders or our clients, and our clients can be auditors, investigators, or the Postal Service themselves, is what is the business question that we're trying to solve here? What's keeping you up at night? Rather than approach this as trying to explain what data mining is and what data is available and can we get that and how do we model it, we start with a business conversation. And once we understand what somebody's trying to solve, then we kind of know where to go to get the data to help recreate that environment. And then the modeling behind that really turns into something that the users look at. And then intuitively, they just begin to discover insights that they couldn't see before.
I imagine the questions are different for an auditor than it is for an investigator in terms of that business question. And then does the business question change if you're looking at, you know, health fraud versus financial fraud?
The business question is always a good thing to re-ask every year. As a matter of fact, it's part of our approach to a life cycle management. You know, we may build a model and use it for 1 year, and then the value may not be there anymore. And so it's time to sunset that and move resources elsewhere. Or there may be a model, typically in the fraud areas, where you begin to have some success, but then fraud schemes emerge, you know, as criminals become aware of how they're being modeled and tracked down. You know, there are new fraud schemes that come out, and we've got to consistently being updating our models with new data. I think we're learning that we don't have to get all of our data from the Postal Service anymore. There's a lot of data from other government agencies that's out there in public domain. There's a lot of data that's out in, that people give away for free. There's a lot of people trying to solve the same problems that we're trying to solve. So we're learning that we don't necessarily have to rely on the traditional transactional-based systems that were created years ago for one thing, and then try to pull data out of that and get access to the data and then use it in a way that's informative. We don't have to be restricted to that mindset.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about what you guys are doing around data analytics. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest is Brian Jones, the director of the Countermeasures and Performance Evaluation Team within the Postal Service's Office of the Inspector General.
I can't believe it. I lost my house, my wife, my family, and my job. Everything.
If you or someone you know has tried but can't stop gambling, you should know that problem gambling could be an addiction.
While gambling is entertainment for some people, for over 150,000 people in Maryland, it's a devastating medical condition.
Are you at risk? Call the Maryland Center on Problem Gambling Helpline, 1-800-GAMBLER, or go to mdproblemgambling.com. We can help.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Brian Jones, the Director of Countermeasures and Performance Evaluation Team at the Postal Service's Office of Inspector General. Now, Brian, before break, we were understanding kind of how your office works, what you guys do. Now, there's two pieces to your office. There's the countermeasures and the performance evaluation. Let me start with the countermeasures. That seems to be the fun part, the sexy part, if there is, and when it comes to data. Give me a sense of what you guys are doing around there. And
our very first lesson that we learned is these models are really cool, and you mentioned the term sexy, and I think sometimes in the business world we never saw it that way. The data scientists certainly did. But as we began to see the potential value there, we developed our first model, and the output of that model was an Excel spreadsheet. So when you attach a spreadsheet to an email and you send it out to a bunch of investigators, some of them might take it and open it and look at it and take the time to understand it, but a lot don't, especially when it comes from a headquarters entity and you'd wonder, is there really value in what this is anyway? Well, then what we've learned is if we could visualize that information in a way that's compelling to an investigator, understand the mind of an investigator and what's going to draw their attention and where these problems are. So we realized we needed to develop this interface, and it's a web-based interface, a map of the U.S. with hotspots. And these are all hyperlinks. And so what it does is it draws your attention. If you're an investigator responsible for a certain area, your eye is drawn to that area. There are circles that are red or green, depending on what's going on there. There are hyperlinks. You drill into the detail. Once you get behind the map, then the power of the analytics is right in front of you. You'll have a link analysis tool. It may link one contractor with another contractor. There's copies of invoices if you want to go down to the invoice level. There's risk scores that are assigned to whatever it is that we're measuring risk against. We're able to model every single contract or every single transaction or every single whatever it is that's being investigated, where in the past you may have to do a statistical sample or you may have to just wait until somebody calls to look for something. So we're able to do all of the scoring, and it puts a lot of information in front of the investigator so that they can then engage their intuition and their professional experience and say, you know what, there's really something going on here. And it may be fraud, it may not be fraud, but it's worth me investigating. And so it leads them down that path. And hopefully their starting point in their work is a little bit closer to the actual crime than having to start from scratch. So that's the one thing that we learned that was very important. And we've now developed this same interface for all four fraud models. And as we've done this, our user adoption rates have really increased because it's easy to learn. You don't have to spend a lot of time in training anymore. You know, people seem to be so much more savvy with the computer. So as long as there's a hyperlink and you can click on it, and then behind that you have the data that means something to you, then you're really not focused on training. You're mostly focused on marketing and communications just so people know that it's out there. And then our user adoption, another reason it's grown is because, you know, the investigators who see value in it are sharing it with other investigators. So you have a grassroots effort, you know, where it spreads in the field, because believe me, if it's not worth it, they're not going to come back. And if they like what they see, they're going to use it and they're going to tell others. And so that was a lesson that we learned and we've tried to apply in all of the models that we build now.
You said you've been doing this for almost 3 years. Is there some fits and starts you've gone through in terms of, hey, this doesn't seem to work, let's pivot and go in this direction?
I think one of the things that we did right was that we engaged our investigative stakeholders from the very beginning. We would get down the road, and we may have to stop or reassess, but it was early in the process. So we didn't wait until we had a final product before we brought investigations in to kind of look at it. So the way that we model our work is that when we have a new engagement, we make sure, whether it's an audit or investigations, that we get a subject matter expert from that profession that joins our team. And they give us feedback from day one. They also will use their colleagues to bounce ideas off of to get feedback from multiple users. So we don't really pretend to understand the business of investigations or the business of audit. We know a little bit about it. But if we don't have them sitting with us at the table, then we feel like, you know, we're not going to get the best value out of the model.
The models you build, are most of them in-house models, or are you taking a tool that's in the commercial world and maybe just transforming it or tweaking it a little bit?
So we started without an off-the-shelf product. I think at first, being that we had a really practical start, we didn't have a very big budget. We were kind of just guinea pigs and said, we need you to go test and prove this out. So instead of investing the money that we had into a software product, we invested into data modelers. And then we asked ourselves, what do we already own? Okay, we can find servers that aren't being utilized. We know that we've got an operating system and an Oracle database that we could potentially use. So we said, okay, here's our collection of things that we already own, and this is our environment. So can our modeler then develop a model and then deploy it in an environment that we already have? And that's how we started. Now that we've advanced a little bit, we have purchased some analytical software. We use that in-house. We also use that with our modeling team and our contractors. But it's still right now put into, you know, the environment that we already own and use in the organization.
A lot of agencies are going on this path, not necessarily for investigations, but looking at data tools, data analytical tools. Was there things you guys learned since you've been doing it for a few years that you, when you tell other agencies, hey, make sure you do this before you go buy something, or make sure you do this type of research before you decide what you really do need.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that'll give you advice. Of course, the people selling the software will tell you one thing, and those who have already purchased it may tell you something else. So it's really, I think something that we were very, very fortunate in is working with a contractor who is very sincere about their work, and they really care about the modeling. So the software to them was secondary. But they did form a trusted relationship with us, and when it came time, we got a recommendation from them as to what would be best for us to purchase based on the size of our agency, the data that we're looking at, the size of our budget. So, you know, we had that kind of independent consultant take a look at us and say, here's what we recommend that you purchase. And we felt like then we would buy it on our terms, and we would pay, you know, something that was affordable to us, and we could buy it when it was going to be best for our operation and not assume that we had to have this before we could start something.
The other thing I think that you brought up earlier was the business question. Make sure you know what business question you're answering, because a lot of times people will see the next shiny technology and say, we've got to have this, but does it meet your business needs? How did you go about answering that question?
Well, to get somebody that understands kind of our concept and our approach was critical. Fortunately, on my staff, we've got folks that came from investigations and audit, and so we knew enough about the business to kind of come up with a couple of questions ourselves, and we got some guidance from the head of the organization as to where to start. So once we developed business questions ourselves and then went back to the business, part of the problem that we had with people accepting this is you really have to be able to envision the intersection between the business and the technology. And because this is relatively new in the government, that visualization or that business case really didn't exist. So once we are able to take a business question, solve it, and then put that case study in front of a business owner, all of a sudden they begin to see how that value could translate into their business. And maybe, hey, maybe we can do that here, and maybe that is going to be a valuable tool. So once we got two or three of those finished, then all of a sudden it was so much easier to try to market this and sell this to people so they could really see the value for themselves instead of trying to convince them of how valuable you think it would be.
So you've been doing this now for a few years. Benefits, can you talk a little bit about some of the impact that these tools and the use of data has had on the Inspector General's office?
Well, I think, first of all, I'll talk about an unanticipated impact. And in the IG community, we're a very reactive community. We react. When somebody calls the hotline, we open an investigation. When somebody from Congress makes an inquiry, we respond to that. When if it's a Board of Governors, Postmaster General, somebody from the Postal Service, we're reacting, we're responding. This gives us, all of a sudden now, the tables are turned, and we're able to be proactive. We don't have to wait for the phone to ring. We can go look for the best cases. We can model everything, and then we can start from the top of the list where we see the biggest value, and then we can go after that as opposed to waiting for somebody to, you know, kind of call on us. And that's really a fundamental shift in the community. So if you have a tool like this, the other thing that it does is it levels the playing field for your special agents and your auditors, because if you would imagine being in your field as an investigator and auditor for 15 or 20 or 25 years, you develop a network of people who you rely on and who you can contact when you need information. This now, you can be 25 years old right out of the academy, come in and pick up this tool, and all of a sudden you're getting leads and you're able to generate cases yourself. You don't have to wait till they're assigned to you. You don't have to wait until the phone rings. You can be really proactive and start to develop your own network of contacts, and really you're in a lot more control over, you know, how you do your business.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can hit the other part of what you guys do, the performance evaluation. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Brian Jones, the director of the Countermeasures and Performance Evaluation Team for the Postal Service's Office of Inspector General.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like this.
What's your favorite color?
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Brian Jones, the director of the Countermeasures and Performance Evaluation Team for the Postal Service's Office of Inspector General. Now, Brian, before break, we were talking a lot about the countermeasures piece, and we're going to get into the performance evaluation piece first. But one of the things you ended up with right before break was talking about the benefit and be able to be more proactive. But I think a lot of people are going to ask, yeah, but okay, what about the real dollar savings? Is there money being recovered? Are you bringing money? Are you paying for yourselves? So give me a sense, you know, from a dollar standpoint or from a return on investment standpoint, what's the impact you guys are having?
I think the questions we get the most are how much did it cost and how much is it saving you? And that's what people want to know about is money. I can't really talk about specific dollar amounts, but what I can say, in the approach that we've had of growing ourselves as a business and starting with the small budget, our idea was if we can get some early returns, if we can prove to this organization and to the Postal Service that what we're doing is returning dollars to them, that we will get that investment. And in fact, over the past year and a half, the agency is beginning to invest in us more. Our resources are growing. The models that we model opportunities are growing. We've got stakeholders coming to our door. And so when you have that demand, we've gotten beyond that tipping point of having to kind of beg, as you will, for funding. We have stakeholders coming to us saying, hey, can you do work in this area? And that's a good problem to have, because then that second wave of investment, so to speak, in the business world starts to come in. So we're really seeing that now. So it's not just dollars returned to the Postal Service, but it's also hours saved by auditors and investigators. I mean, if we're able to start, and we've been able to start investigators further down the road, so there's a real cost savings in the number of hours that are worked on the cases. And again, I talked about being able to select the best cases. So we can take the cases, and we've done this from the top of the list. And so the monetary return per case is a lot higher than it would be if it's just a reactive case. So those are just some examples of the types of ROI that we're seeing, and the fact that the organization continues to invest in our group. And there's really a whole lot of opportunity into the audit world, which I think we're going to talk about next.
Roughly, when you say you're getting more requests, have you seen the number of requests go up by 10%, by 50%, double over the last, you know, couple of months or year?
We've seen our user adoption rates go from, I think we have about 600 or so investigators who have access to our tool. And just last month, we have unique users per day, summed up by the month, is 600 users. So, you know, you're talking about maybe 20 or 25 users per day that are coming to this tool and using it, and that's really doubled, you know, in the past year. So we've really seen the users coming to us, consuming it, and then the number of cases that are closed, the number of cases that are opened, all of those numbers are headed in the right direction, and that's really kind of affirming for us.
And now you guys are trying to move into the audit world, the performance evaluation. Give me a sense that's a little behind the countermeasures or the investigation side, but where are you heading with the performance evaluation side?
We may be a little bit behind. Our audit group already had a suite of risk models in place, the Paris Risk Models Performance and Risk Indicator System. We've kind of moved into this area now because a lot of those models, while they were valuable, they were based on conditions 3 to 4 years ago, and some of the data sets were at summary level data. But we're able to come in and let's look at this freshly. Let's look, what new data can we add to these models? What is the business climate now? Do we need to ask a different question to be answered? And can we get you down to the invoice? Can we get you down to the transaction at the retail level? Can we show you that piece of mail? So we're able to get insight down to the level of the transaction. So we're taking the suite of tools that weren't already in existence in the audit side, and working with our audit team, we're trying to enhance those and make those even more valuable to them and to the Postal Service. We've collaborated on a couple of models directly with the Postal Service, and they're seeing value there as well. So we've reached a tipping point with the audit side too, and we're really looking forward to focusing our efforts there in 2013.
Is the audit side much harder than the investigation side, or do they each present challenges, but they're just different animals?
I just think it's a different animal. The program areas, if you can imagine, the Postal Service is large, and so there's a lot going on. So there's a lot of opportunity. So on the audit side, there's so much more opportunity. As much success as we've had with this on the investigative side, I think the biggest potential is on the performance evaluation side. And really, with a 60 billion plus organization, there's a lot of data. There's a lot of programs. They're very large. They're comprehensive. They're nationwide. And that's a great problem to have. have when you're doing data mining, because you can look across the entire country, you can look across the business landscape, you can look across portfolios. And again, these are data sets you're able to look at. And instead of looking back and then basing our future decisions on what we've always done, you know, now we're able to get insight on what could possibly be coming down the road, on what's happening now, and then even get into a position where we can anticipate when the economy changes or when the labor situation changes or whatever changes in the landscape in the future, we'll be better positioned to kind of anticipate what those needs might be.
From a tool set standpoint, are you said you took some of the tools that the audit side was already using and maybe are tweaking them a bit. Are there new tools you may need, or are there new tools you're considering?
We just purchased some SaaS capability. We've got an auditor's notebook. We've recently moved into the area of text mining, which is going to be huge for us. Text mining will take unstructured data sets and put structure around them so that information can be modeled and searched. We've also recently invested in GIS software, so we're going to integrate that into the suite of tools that we have. So we're growing our analytics capabilities as our stakeholders and our demand grows, and those are just a few of the things that we've moved into recently.
Text mining, I mean, unstructured data is one of those things that I think everybody is trying to say, how do we get our arms around it? Give me a sense of how you guys are doing it. You're saying you're trying to put some structure around unstructured data. How's that going
to
work?
To give you an example, our hotline request. I mean, a lot of customer complaints and information we receive from the general public is taken over the phone. A lot of it is free-flowing text, and a lot of it doesn't have the structure around it to be useful to any kind of analytics. So we've purchased a tool from Elder Research that they developed, and we're able to now take all of that data, put it in a database, put structure around it, and then search for things. And those things that we search for may be terms that we come up with, or we may be able to go back and model this information. For example, if our contract fraud tool indicates that their ABC company has got a particular risk, and then somebody calls the hotline and says, I'd like to report ABC company, you know, to be able to take that data, put structure around it, and then merge it with our model to raise that risk score is something that we're really interested in doing. Also, there's a lot of work that we've done in the past that we'd like to be able to refer back to. I mean, all of our audit work, all of our investigative work, all of that work exists, but it's in a semi-structured and unstructured environment so that we can put structure to that. We can go back and learn from the work that we've already done in the past, too. So it's really kind of the Wild West when it comes to text mining, but we're really excited to get started in that area.
All right, very nice. It's something that I'm sure we will continue to follow. But unfortunately, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This was a special edition of Ask the CIO, part two of my series with the Postal Services Office of Inspector General. My guest today was Brian Jones, the Director of Countermeasures and the Performance Evaluation Team, or CAPE, within the Office of Inspector General. Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
You're welcome. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.